Like Breathing Out and Breathing In. Written by Not Quite a Ghost. Read by Opal Song. Fandom Star Wars. Rating Explicit. Relationship Fox Quinlan Vos. Also tagged for Background Fox Cody. Developing Relationship. Feelings Realization. In the I am very repressed, and it hadn't until just now clicked how much I care about you sense. A very blasé marriage proposal. Technically, two marriage proposals, even. These fuckers are so stupid. And also a Commander group chat cameo I will not be tagging. Part 5 of Love is Like Falling. Recorded for Lattice Frames for ITPE 2022.
Maybe it's the way you say my name. Maybe it's the way you play your game, but it's so good. I've never known anybody like you, but it's so good. I've never dreamed of nobody like you. And I've heard of a love that comes once in a lifetime, and I'm pretty sure that you are that love of mine.
Fox is not a Jedi Wrangler. Tracking the whereabouts, health, status, or recklessness levels of the Jedi is not in his description. He has his hands full enough with the Senate. He glances at the chrono again. Vos is now 17 minutes late. Just a fling, huh? Thorne asks, from where he's leant up against the wall. Arms crossed, looking at Fox far too knowingly. Just because it's convenient? I will stab you, Fox says. Thorne just laughs. Save it for Vos, Vod. You know I'm not into that. Fox bares his teeth. His calm pings, for the fourth time in the past 5 minutes. It's still not anyone he actually cares to talk to. So he continues to ignore it. It's 23:47 for Sith's sake. He is not on duty.
He's already on planet, right? Thorne asks. Bet you he just got caught up at the temple.
Windu's here, and Mulne. Fox wants to snap that he doesn't need reassuring. But Thorne would only take it as proof he very much needs reassuring. And he can feel the steady ticking of the chrono in his chest. They didn't actually agree on a time. They never do. Vos knows his shift patterns. Fox knows if he has an assignment, how long it takes him to get to the guard from the temple. Vos didn't say he'd come by tonight. It's been 16 days since he left, and neither of them are comfortable risking calm transmissions when he's working. And he does, more often than not, spend his first nights back in Fox's bed. Maybe he realized that. The significance of how much time he's been spending with Fox. Maybe he's decided it's gone far enough. Fox always wants to send him away. It's fucking stupid what they're doing. He can nearly hear the lecture Django would give every time he doesn't kick Vos out. Every time he lets Vos curl close. But then Quinlan will make a content noise, or actually relax, or smile just at the corner of his eyes, and Fox's resolve will crumble into nothing. His calm pings again, a lower tone. He picks it up.
Shabwir.
Sorry, my master's back, and I had to reassure him I'm not concealing any broken bones. On my way now.
You have a separate alert for him? Fox asks, delighted. That's adorable. It's not just for him. It's for anyone who isn't a carking senator, Fox corrects absently as he types. Fox.
Is that a habit of yours? I distinctly remember you ranting about Kenobi downplaying his injuries.
Shabwir.
We all do stupid things when we're knights. Some of us grow out of them, a fact Master Thulm refuses to acknowledge. Anyway, be nice to me. I have that whiskey you like.
Fox.
And terrible news?
Shabwir.
Hey, sometimes I can just give you things. I'm thoughtful and considerate.
Fox huffs, unimpressed, and clips his comm back to his wrist. To Thorn, he asks, "Wanna cover first half of first shift?" Thorn raises his eyebrows. "You admitting you do need more than 2 hours of sleep?" Fox raises an eyebrow right back. "What makes you think I'm sleeping?" The face Thorn pulls is very satisfying. "It is so annoying to care about you," he says. "I don't want to cover your shift, you fuck, but I do want you to take a damn break." "Oh, so it's not just me?" Voss asks, from where he was not stood at Fox's shoulder 10 seconds ago. Fox refuses to jump. "Gratuitous use of the Force," he retorts. Voss isn't visibly injured, but Voss is never visibly injured. Fox itches to get his hands under his tunics. "I won that argument when I was still a Padawan," Voss dismisses. "It's practice. Gotta keep my skills sharp." "One day," Fox says, "I will stab you." Voss bats his eyelashes. "Oh, please do." "Nope," Thorn interjects. "This is a flirting-free zone. I have to work here." "It's my office." "Not if I'm covering your shift, it's not. Go on, get, before you rot all my teeth." Voss laughs, and the bastard grabs Fox by the waist and lifts him out of his chair, and then doesn't put him back down as he says, "Sir, yes, sir." In retaliation, Fox wraps his legs around Quinlan's hips and drops his arms around Quinlan's shoulders. He could hold himself up like this easily, but Quinlan shifts a hand to the small of his back and then grabs Fox's bucket off his desk and walks out of the room before Thorn can say anything else. "You eaten?" he asks, like he always does, like he isn't carrying Fox in full armor out of the guard building and toward the barracks. "This may have backfired." Fox hums, a vague affirmative, decently sure he had enough ration bars to count as late meal. Quinlan, unfortunately, knows him better than that. "Got some of that soup you like," he says, "and ujalei." "You were on Arusan. Where the fuck did you get ujalei?" "Sometimes," Quinlan says, in that particular little shit tone that always makes Fox want to bite him, "Mandos leave their system and go to other planets. Sometimes they even set up businesses on other planets. You can, you see, exchange credits for good food and services." Fox leans in and presses his teeth, lightly, to Quinlan's jugular. Quinlan's mouth snaps shut. The door to Fox's bunk also shuts, and Quinlan asks, voice noticeably rougher, "Want me to put you down?" Fox moves back to look Quinn in the eye. lots of things I want, he says, and thinks he stops himself, adding sweetheart quick enough. Quinlan won't have noticed. Let's start with food. He tips his head to his bunk, and Quinlan sets him down, then starts pulling things out of his pack as Fox shucks off his armor. The whiskey, the soup, and the cake are placed in a neat row on Fox's joke of a desk, followed by a bracelet, a small knife, a slightly larger knife, and an unlabeled jar of something blue. You know, Fox says, I don't think the Order would approve if they knew what you were actually spending your mission stipend on. Jedi finances aren't Gar finances, Quinlan retorts, indignant. Jedi buying tchotchkes is a vital part of the galaxy's economy. Fox lifts up the larger knife so the blade glints in the light. It's curved and sharp enough he wants to demand why it was loose in Quinn's pack. This is for disemboweling. If I brought you shiny things to have just for the sake of having, Quinn says, pulling off his boots and outer tunics, not covering any pain, you'd throw them at me, and you'd dodge. And then, Quinn agrees, a perfectly lovely bit of spun glass would shatter on the floor. He sprawls across Fox's bed, as much as he can when it's two handspans shorter than him. Fox settles in beside him, cross-legged, knees against Quinn's thigh, back against the wall. A familiar configuration by now.
What's the bracelet useful for, then?
Matches your eyes.
Fox's breath catches, and the moment hangs in the air. One beat, two, before he lets it out and reaches for the food. He doesn't want to snap at Quinn. He spends so much of his life doing things he doesn't want to. Also, Quinn adds, it's worth 15,000 credits if you're ever that carked. Fox doesn't drop the flask of soup in shock because he's not a cadet, but he does glance pointedly between it and the upper parts of Quinlan's thigh that he's holding it above. I'm not worth 15K.
Every time you joke about how much money the Kaminoans were paid, Quinn says lightly, I get one step closer to paying a visit and murdering them all.
Yeah, Fox challenges. It's only a few days away. What are we waiting for? Another moment of silence. Delicate. Dangerous. Fox can't read the look on Quinlan's face. He drinks the soup instead. I think, Quinlan says, slowly, consideringly, it'd create more problems than it'd fix. And Fox almost chokes. The Jedi couldn't take credit, because it's not public knowledge we didn't actually commission an army. You couldn't take credit, because you're still legally property, and mass murder's not the best start to a citizenship plea, even in peacetime. Everyone would assume it was the Separatists, and that'd be a marked kind of escalation. Don't think the Chancellor needs that kind of ammunition. It's no accident, obviously, that Quinn ended up in Fox's bed. It still catches him off guard when Quinn proves he's worth it. After the war, then, Fox's voice is rough. This isn't something they talk about. Hundreds of thousands of Fox's Voda are on Kamino. It's not something many people seem to have put together. That there are cadets who won't be fit to fight for another 5 years, another 10. There won't be money for them after the war. There's barely money for them now. Most of the Senate thinks they're just more expensive droids. No feelings, no desires, no thoughts of their own. No rights. Fox lets out a long breath, then finishes the soup and grabs the whiskey. He takes a long drink and says, Cody fucked Kenobi. Quinn blinks, blinks again.
They weren't already fucking?
Fox slants him an unimpressed look.
when you said you talked to Kenobi. He doesn't tell me shit. Come on. I only heard about his master dying because the council pulled me off my assignment to help stop him offing himself. Fox thinks of Cody saying, benefit of hitting full fucking codependence, and can't suppress his shiver. They've been bonded for months, Quinn adds. That's why I assumed. Haven't seen Obi-Wan this twisted up in someone since Krisa. Oh, Fox says, remembering. You'd overthrow a government with me, wouldn't you? Are you suggesting becoming the fucking Mandalore? No, Cody'd be the Mandalore. He's better with a saber. Quinn laughs. Oh, of course. And you'd be his most trusted advisor. Fox grins, all teeth. Well, Quinn says, we'll add it to the list then, after we kill the Sith and the Kaminoans. Gotta keep busy, huh? Fox's mouth says, entirely without his permission, bond with me. Quinn freezes, and Fox flinches. Dekutla, Dekutla! Sorry, I've been awake too long. That's a marriage proposal, Quinn says. Still, horribly still. Why do you want to be married to me? Fuck, that hurts. They've been sleeping together almost a year. Quinn is so easy. Sweet and thoughtful and knife sharp, slipping right under all Fox's defenses. It's a bad idea, letting him. There's so few things Fox gets to keep. If we're bonded, he says, voice giving far too much away, unable to care. I'll know if you're okay, no matter what. You Sith spit, don't make me say it. You worry, Quinn says, not quite a question. Of course I fucking worry, Fox snaps. Half the time I don't even know where you are. I know where everyone is. Do you get that? Every Vod, every Jetty, every damn senator. And if you get yourself killed, I don't know how long it'd be before anyone would think to tell me. There's a list, Quinlan interjects, voice thick with something Fox can't think about. Shadows have a list of people to notify. You are on it. You're second. It hits Fox like a punch. I'm above Kenobi? Yeah, Quinn says. Fox kisses him. It's second nature to shift so he's spread above him. So Quinn can thread a hand through his hair, so he can push Quinn down into the bunk, to pull Quinn's lip between his teeth, lick into Quinn's mouth, to push a hand under Quinn's tunic, drag nails along his skin. It's familiar. It's like coming home. Fuck, Quinn pants, when Fox lets him up for air. Fuck, Fox, of course I'll bond with you. Never leave you again. Mine, Fox agrees, low, and moves to bite it into Quinn's throat. He draws blood, not entirely meaning to, but the noise Quinn makes. Fox, he groans. Fox sits up, wipes at his mouth, and tries to think straight. The blood running down Quinn's neck doesn't make it easy. What do you want? You, Quinn says immediately. Anything. Gods, I missed you. Never come harder than in your bed. Fox kisses him again. He could kiss Quinn for days. When Quinn starts to squirm, he takes pity, gets a hand down Quinn's trousers, wraps tight around his cock. He's leaking. When all Fox has done is kiss him, bite him. Fucking hells. Fox strokes, slow. And Quinn groans right into his mouth. They never make it to anything more complicated the first night. Fox never has the patience. It's a rush, still, to know how to touch Quinn, how to twist his wrist, how tight to grip, where to place his teeth, what he looks like when he's close. Fox moves down from his mouth so he can bite another mark into Quinn's throat. Hear the way it makes Quinn moan, and Quinn says, voice utterly wrecked, "Giving me a damn fixation. Kept thinking about you coming on me, on my chest, on my face, walking around like that so everyone could see. Motherfucker." Fox grits out into Quinn's skin. "Oh, fuck, you bastard, gonna come all over you. Mark you up." He speeds up the pace of his hand, bites harder, determined Quinn'll come first. He says, nonsensically, "Bite you in the force." And Quinn groans and comes. Fox strokes him through it until Quinn's twitching with oversensitivity. And then he finally pulls out his own cock, sits up just enough, and Quinn's still dressed. They're both still dressed. Quinn will have to walk back to the temple stained with Fox. Fuck. "Force, you're hot," Quinn breathes, and raises a hand, draws a line down Fox's chest. "Gonna do it? Gonna come all over me?" Fox gasps, strokes faster. Quinn says, reverent, "Gonna marry you, darling." And shit, that's what tips him over the edge. "Well," Quinn says, when Fox has nearly caught his breath, "private ceremony then, huh?" Fox slaps him. He cackles. Then he admits, "That's what the bracelet's for. That's what it's for." Fox says, with great feeling, "Quinlan fucking Vos." "I was gonna mention it," Quinn protests. "I swear I was. Just, you've got Commander Cody and the guard. I didn't want to presume." "You were one of five people who've slept in this bed," Fox says, then winces. Then, because Quinn promised to marry him, he can probably drop his damn guard. He adds, "You and Cody are the only people I've slept with in months." Quinn blinks at him. Fox, deciding that's enough vulnerability for one night, stands and fetches a cloth to clean them up, and a couple bacta patches for Quinn's neck. "You're the only person I've slept with all year," Quinn says. Fox feels that in his bones, says, eyes on the mess he made on Quinn's skin. "I'd fucking better be." Quinn laughs. "Sharing only go one way?" "You're welcome to sleep with other people," Fox says, as he, regretfully, wipes the blood off Quinn's skin. "Providing you first give me their full names, their home addresses, and any ident codes." "I'm a shadow." "You're my shadow," Fox counters, "and I don't let just anyone touch my things." That, delightfully, makes Quinn shiver. "Not likely to ever be an issue," he says, "but noted." "That's cute." "You're cute." Fox laughs and shoves at Quinn until he can pull the blanket out from underneath him. His bunk's not really big enough for the two of them, but he spent his whole life fitting into two small spaces, and Quinn runs so warm. He rests his head on Quinn's chest. "You know, no one ever believes you're the cuddler," Quinn says. "If the Jedi want to have hang-ups about physical affection," Fox says, "that's not my problem. Can you see my calm?"
"No."
"Quinn, give me my calm."
"Your shift ended 5 hours ago."
"You proposed. I have to make arrangements."
"No, you proposed. I set up a future proposal. I had a plan."
Fox huffs, fawn despite himself. "Did it involve staging a kidnapping so you'd have me all to yourself?"
"Depends on what Thorne said,"
Quinn says. Fox doesn't need to see his face to know he's grinning.
"A fake investigation to take up all your time. That was another thing. getting Thier to pretend to be you, blowing up the guard office with you inside.
Oh, Sith hells, Fox is in love with him. Fake investigation's the most workable, he muses after a beat, thinking of shift patterns, of whisper networks, of favors owed. No need to give anyone else ideas. Quinn drops Fox's comm on his head.
No plotting, he says. Bragging, then sleep.
Fox doesn't bother arguing. He'll have plenty of time to plot tomorrow, without Quinn reading over his shoulder.
Stop plotting mutiny. The servers are Gar property. Active. 14 users.
Vice Chancellor Fox.
Hey, guess what?
Upstart Rex.
You murdered a senator?
Bly Secura.
You murdered multiple senators?
Wolf.
You got Amidala drunk, and now Naboo's going independent and taking half the Republic with them, and this is an invite to dessert?
Vice Chancellor Fox.
Shabna Manda, why would I admit any of that in writing?
Bly Secura.
That's not a no.
Vice Commander Fox.
I haven't seen Amidala in a month.
Upstart Rex.
So you did murder a senator.
Vice Chancellor Fox.
You all damn well know the answer to that. Not what I'm here to discuss. You know Quinlan Vos?
CMC Bastard.
Wolf, you owe me that knife.
Vice Chancellor Fox.
Shabwir Redur, can I finish a sentence?
CMC Bastard.
I don't know. Can you?
Vice Chancellor Fox.
Where the fuck are you right now?
CMC Bastard.
Outer Rim, Smiley.
Wolf.
Stop flirting and get to the point, Vod. Some of us have shit to do.
Vice Chancellor Fox.
Congrats, you're all getting leave at the same time for once. I'm marrying Vos.
Upstart Rex.
You're what?
Neo.
Vos?
Bly Secura.
Excuse me, since when are you fucking Vos?
Quinn laughs at that. Did you really only tell Cody? Not anyone else's business, is it? CMC Bastard.
Since Vos broke into his office to snoop and Fox caught him in the act, 3 months after Geonosis. Love at first sight.
Vice Chancellor Fox.
Every day I don't stab you is a blessing you don't deserve. CC2224 set CC1010's nickname to Vice Chancellor Fox Vos. CC1010 removed CC2224 from role admin.
Pawns.
No, I hate it when Bweer and Bweer fight. Frowny face.
CMC Bastard.
I am none of you lot's Bweer.
Pawns.
First, then act like it. Second, you're definitely ghosts, Bweer. Third, what the fuck, Fox? Now I owe Cody. Vice Chancellor Fox Vos. If you were stupid enough to bet on my love life with my Vodur, I don't know what to tell you.
Quinn is giggling so hard he's jostling Fox. Vice Chancellor Fox Vos.
Anyway, that was all. Kote, I want Quinn to tell Kenobi. Otherwise, I don't care. No, wait. Cote, I want half your spoils.
CMC bastard.
Yeah, the knife's yours.
Neo.
Disgusting.
Vice Chancellor Fox Vos.
Neo's uninvited. Okay, good night.
He mutes the comm and drops it on the floor. Quinn is still giggling, and Fox can't not kiss him. Soft and sweet. Maybe he won't turn up for his shift at all. Maybe he'll stay right here until the war ends. Voda do vows, right? Quinn asks, not even a little bit subtle. Mi solus toma. Mi solus dar toma. Mi medinui an. Mi sherashoi, Fox says. Quinn swallows. That last bit's different. Can't exactly raise kids, can we? Fox determinedly doesn't think of the handful of times he's visited the crash with Quinn. And you can make your vows as long as sentimental as you want. You won't embarrass me any more than I could embarrass you in front of Kenobi.
Worth a shot, Quinn says. Fox resigns himself to a 10-minute-long epic poem. It'll even be a good poem, because Fox's bastard doesn't do things by halves. Someone will record it and post it, sans attribution, to the net. The post will go viral on some civvy board, and Quinn will be unbearably smug for weeks. Maybe they won't have a wedding, actually. Stop plotting, Quinn chides. Go the fuck to sleep already. Make me. Darling, what do you think I'm doing? Fox is going to retort, but Quinn brings a hand up to card through his hair. The cheater. And instead, he gasps and then melts. Quinn uses some kind of Jedi magic when he does this. Fox is sure of it. Go, Quinn says, slowly, fondly. The fuck? To sleep. And, finally certain that Quinn will still be here come morning, Fox does. The end. Won't you let my darling know that? If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening. Reader's notes. While I don't generally include translations of Mandoa at the end of podfics, because in general, the Mandoa used are all fairly similar words, and also, most of them are pretty understandable from context, I think. All of the translations are included at the end of the various fics, just in general. It seems to be a thing that people do. All of that being said, I'm going to include part of the author's notes here because that was a long chunk of Mandoa that Fox used as his wedding vows. Author's notes. Vodur, spouse, trooper endearment term. Mi solus toma,
Mi solus dar toma. Mi medinui an. Mi sherishoi. We're one together. We're one apart. We share all. We survive / thrive. Sherishoi is a complicated concept, but in essence, it's survive and find joy in surviving. Has Fox killed a senator? Yes, absolutely. Can anyone prove it? Not even a little bit.